on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2, hosted by Aaron the Power Bauer.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2, minus Robbie Hunter Paul this week. We've had a little bit of a shuffle around. We've mixed up the guests. Somehow I've ended up presenting this week. I don't know how that's happened, but we're going to go with it for an hour. Minnie's not with us this week either, but we have got a rugby league legend in the studio. And joining Ross Peltier, Leon Price is here as well. Leon.
Hello.
Good to have you back.
It's good. Not bad to be back.
By popular demand, I'm led to believe.
By me
messaging you out of desperation saying, can you come on for short of a guest?
I've heard the ratings have gone up already.
Oh, through the roof. Lads, let's get straight into it. Pelts, first of all, Bulls at the weekend, 50-12 over North Wales. I was there. It looked pretty straightforward. How did it feel being involved?
We prepared quite well this week. You know, after the defeated Whitehaven, and you know Whitehaven beat York, so we thought it could be a sticky game. So you know, preparation were good leading up to it. We had a week off, so our boys were rested. It was straightforward really. We took the lead. We had a good, strong, solid first half. We had a slight switch off in 10 minutes in the second half, where I think it gets to that point where we get a bit bored of what we're doing, so we start trying to do all sorts, and it went wrong. But yeah, strong performance.
They're no mugs.
No,
and we played them. Yeah. We played them this year. They're a good team. So I was actually gonna go watch the game because it was on the Saturday. Yeah. I had a day off, and then by the time I got up 6-6, I think it was like 20-0 after 10 minutes. So I thought, no, I'll go get some chicken instead.
Good choice. Obviously, Key's back in the side as well. Joe and Dane together just gives you that bit of balance, settles the side down a little bit, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, I think we've seen, you know, first time Keys is back in a few weeks. It just calms everything down, you know, it's more settled. You know, we haven't got Minnie in half, and, you know, we've got a settled half back, and Keys just, you know what I mean, knows what he's doing, gets around park, and it's sure, it's good to have him back.
We'll come back to your trip to Cumbria this week, and we'll go to the other side of Cumbria with Price. Leon, obviously disappointing result at the weekend, but look, 12 games in, everyone's played everyone once after this weekend. If you win this weekend against Doncaster, you're level on points with those playoff places. Handily placed, pretty encouraged with how you've started.
Yeah, it's not been easy. I think we'd won the last three games. I mean, the last performance against Newcastle, they were a really good team. Pushed Bradford all the way the week before.
Beat Whitehaven at the weekend.
Yeah. They beat Whitehaven. They're no easy team. We turned them over pretty well. We beat them by 20 points. And it was just a very disappointing performance against York this weekend. We'd expected to go there and be in a real good battle, but you know, it wasn't good enough. In the end up, it wasn't good enough. But at the same time, you know, they've been 4 or 5 years in the making. Right. They've got a really experienced coach. They've got 8 full-time professionals. They've got the dual reg with OKR. So, you know, they're a well-drilled team, but that's without any excuses. We didn't perform good enough.
This is probably for both of you. Is it difficult in this league with, and I'm not just picking on teams deliberately, is it difficult where 1 week you're playing a West Wales, you're playing a Hemel and winning well, and then 7 days later you've got to back yourself up and change the mindset and get ready for a York, an Oldham, a Doncaster? Is that difficult to deal with?
It's not for me, because that's what I'm used to backing up against big games.
The levels are very different,
as a player, I'm used to that, so my mind frame's the same. I think where we struggle mainly is we get quite a few dual reg players.
Right.
So we're dual registered with Lee. If Lee call their players back, who are obviously full time, then that has a big effect on our squad.
And that happened Sunday, didn't it? It happened.
And probably a little bit different for Bradford, because they've got some full time. They've got a settled squad. Yeah. They've got a very, very large squad and a big, you know, probably a big budget. So for the teams like Bradford, I reckon it has less of an effect than it does for a team like mine.
Sometimes I think how we prepare. I think we play better when we feel that the team who we're playing could beat us. And it's no disrespect to some of these other teams when we prepare poorly. You know, we've travelled poorly, but, you know, even when we prepare and we travel poorly, we've got a way of a win. So, you know, we know how to win games, but yeah, I think it's just that we switch off and don't stick to a structure sometimes.
Leon, you mentioned right back when you took charge, wasn't going to be an overnight thing, weren't going to turn into league winners in the space of a few months. What have you changed? What are you trying to do up there to try and make some sort of long-term sort of foundations in working in a I mean, it's an area that everyone talks about with massive potential, but it's never really quite happened. Can you sense the potential up there?
Yeah, there is massive potential. I feel like we're creating a good vibe, a good energy. I think the biggest thing is the culture. I think when I went over to France, there's a cultural difference compared to when you're playing at a Bradford or a Saints. When I went to Hull, we changed the culture there from probably the sleeping giants to eventually turning around to double Challenge Cup winners. So when this change, there's always a tug of war of sticking with you've always done, or changing it and trying to progress. And at the moment, I want to change the culture and try and get us into a winning culture, a winning team, and that starts right from the very bottom. And that's what I'm trying to do, really, basically.
The Cumbrian teams try and make home a hostile place, don't they, for visiting teams? Probably proven by the fact that you're the only guys that have scalped Bradford this year, the only guys that have got on pelts. What's it like going up there, not just when you play for Bradford, for Keighley as well? How different is it to go into a Rochdale and Oldham and things like that?
Yeah, whenever you go to Cumbria, you know, it's always a hostile place. I think, like you said, working and turned us over. And like I said to Price, I think they were in our heads from minute one. You know, they were aggressive, they were loud, they were up for it.
Leon, wasn't it, on the sidelines?
That just him up in stands. But that, it were one of the most difficult away days I've had to deal with, you know, and psychologically for us, getting beat first time. It's always been a tough place to go. Working has always been a tough place to go. But I think this year when we went up there, we had a big shock. And I think that's leading up to this week as well. We're trying to adjust things and try to travel a lot better because what happened up there, it's always a tough place to go. Yeah.
And Whitehaven obviously doing it tough at the minute, aren't they, with the money and things like that. They've made no secret of the fact they're struggling. I guess it'll make it.
No secret?
They've made no secret of the fact of it. I don't know whether that makes it tougher from a playing perspective, but look, they'll try and make it hostile. They'll try and get a big crowd in Wortley. And again, like working in Anderley Place, it'll be a tough trip, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be a tough trip, but I think we've learnt a lot from that loss. You know, we're 2 points clear now. We don't want to let that slip whatsoever. You know, we've got a few injuries ourselves, but I think after this week off, the week we've just had, I think it's the most focus we've got. You know, get to halfway, only slipped up once. You know, we're in prime place to take it home for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I think it's going to be another strong performance from us this weekend.
Leon, for you guys this year, obviously I know promotion's the goal, but what would success be beyond where you finish in the league table? What are you trying to change and what are you trying to instil into working to make sure that there's some sort of... It's not just a fluke, you know, it's not just a one-off.
Well, I think obviously I've learned a lot about myself, a lot about the club, a lot about the area within a really very, very short space of time of coaching in my first job. But the hardest thing is the location. It's hard to get players up. I've spoken to so many players that are just not willing to travel from Lancashire, Yorkshire. It's a 2.5 hour drive, 2 hour drive to get up there. So all my contact in Saints and all the other players that I know, it's so hard to get them up there unless you're willing to pay them lots of money. And we've not got lots of money. So getting players is hard because in Yorkshire and Lancashire you've got players coming out of your eyeballs. It's not a problem. So it's hard. We've got that problem. Then we have the problem with people working shifts. So some nights I've got 8 training. Sometimes I've got 18. When I've got the dual reg guys with us, we might have 22, 24. But there's no consistency. So for me, it's about recruiting players that can train Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So there's a steady progression in training. Having the same players, having the quality of players that want to play for the club and that are hopefully from around the area, local area. So it kind of knocks the travel out of it. So it's a process that's building slowly and we need to make sure that I need to make sure we get right.
Enjoying it though, because obviously it's come around, I guess, a lot quicker than you imagined when you were playing this time last year.
I am enjoying it, but it's just like... I'm constantly learning, you know. It's like it's up and downs, and I want the consistency. And you know, you can't go from beating Newcastle, who were a really good team, to getting beat by York by 30 points, because we're good enough. We've proven that we can beat Bradford. We've proven we can beat Newcastle. So just because we go away doesn't mean that we can drop that far behind, and that's frustrating for me, which we're working on, and we're all pulling together in the same direction. I've got a good board of directors who help me out tremendously. So if we all stick together as a group and we're going the same direction, then we've got a much better chance of succeeding in the long term, not in the short term, in the long term.
And just finally, Pelts, before we go break, everyone's played everyone once after this weekend. You mentioned 2 points clear. It could be 4. It might be a little bit less. Who knows? But happy with where you are? I mean, it's a fairly new squad you've cobbled together, isn't it? A new coach, happy with how you're running?
Yeah, I think same as what John said. You know, if you told any of us at start of year, come halfway, we'll be 2 points clear, we'd have took it. You know, it's quite tough because everyone can beat everyone, like this league show. You know, I think out of the top eight teams, everyone can beat everyone. And we've worked that out and we've found that out. I think we've learnt a lot in this first half of the season. So, yeah, I think we're in good position for the rest of the year now.
Only Oldham away after this, I think, haven't you? You've got all the big boys to come home in the second half.
Yeah, Oldham really yeah. The only top four team, and yeah,
they did a proper number on us.
York and Oldham, the best two, Leon chasing
York,
Bradford.
York, Oldham and Bradford are the best. I'd say attacking wise, probably York were the best team we played against. Oldham were the tough. The Oldham played like we used to do with the Bulls, where just they pounded us up in the middle, and obviously we beat Bulls, so it were a good day for us. But them three are the best teams that we've played so far. Yeah.
Loads coming up, I think, haven't we? Super 8's been scrapped this week, or supposedly been scrapped. We're going to touch on that. State of mind round in rugby league, something I think we're all a little bit passionate about. We'll get stuck into that. Leon's going to get stuck into the England squad and let us know who should and shouldn't have been picked. And Earl Crabtree's on as well, talking about Huddersfield's free game this Friday, free admission for everyone against Catalans. But now we're just going to do the traffic.
It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2 with Leon Price and Ross Peltier. Boys, we're going to get stuck into the England squad because England are off to Denver next Saturday to play New Zealand. The squad, I'm pretty sure you can find it anywhere, but we'll go through it anyway. John Bateman, George Burgess, Sam Burgess, Tom Burgess, Jake Connor, James Graham, Ryan Hall, Chris Hill, Johnny Lomax, Tommy Makinson, Jermaine McGilvery from Huddersfield, Sean O'Loughlin, Mark Percival, Stephen Ratchford, James Robit, Luke Thompson, Gareth Widdop, George Williams and Elliot Whitehead. I guess, boys, I've got you first, Leon. Someone you'll know quite well because he was someone you know from playing against him in Super League is Jake Connor. First call-up, he was in the Knights, but England haven't messed about, got him straight in the senior squad because of his form. Deserved?
Oh, massively, yeah. I think anybody who watches the game won't be surprised that he's been called up. He's been in outstanding form. He's just a player, isn't he? He can play. If I had to say anything about him, I couldn't really give him a specific position. I just know that whatever position he plays in, he can play full-back, centre, six. He comes up with players constantly, so he's massively deserved. He's been Hull's best standout player this year by far.
Is that something, the fact that he is very versatile and he can play everywhere, is that something he's probably got to tidy up and sharpen up at some point and find a position? I mean, you know yourself the benefit of finding your position.
It depends. I mean, for me, I was in a position where I had to get in front of Henry Paul and Robbie Paul and Paul Deacon, so my chances were very, and then Yesenaris, so my chances were limited because I kept on, was on the bench and on the wing. For him, he's playing every week. So he's different. So I wanted to be a regular. He's playing every week and playing outstanding every week, and that's probably the difference. It depends on what position he wants to play. If he's happy playing varied positions, then he won't be bothered.
The other two newcomers in the squad, Tommy Makinson, who I think we'll all agree, definitely deserving of being in there. But Luke Thompson as well, Ross, you were saying off air just then, consistently one of their best players this year.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him from last year as well when he first came into like Saints squad. Like, runs hard, challenges, like, from a forward's point of view, I think I've been very impressed with him, and I was surprised by not much noise has been made about him for how impressive I thought he's been playing. It was great to see him get called up. You know, he's another young, good forward that Saints have produced. Yeah.
I mean, England haven't been short of forwards in recent years. St Helens as well haven't. Mm. But I think when Alex Walmsley went down this year, everyone was a bit worried about how Saints had coped without Big Al. But Leon Thompson, going well, isn't it?
Going very well. I watched him at the Magic Weekend. I saw you there at the Magic Weekend, and I was very, very impressed with him then. He run, like Ross was saying, runs very hard, very direct, goes into contact really well, and finds his front. So he's starting to now dominate. He's starting to be a physical presence on the field, and somebody that Saints are going to often to find that quick play the ball, going to him in tough times, which is what your best forwards are about.
Look at this Bradford presence in the squad. John Bateman, the three Burgess brothers, Elliot Whitehead. Quality Bradford, aren't they, for producing those kids?
Not bad. Imagine if we'd have kept them all.
Imagine
the kind of team Bradford would have had if they'd have managed to keep them all.
Peltier and Sam Burgess in front row.
Yeah, he was a player 16. It were George and Tom and me at 13 and like 16 when he's at Bradford. But, you know, it shows Bradford producing, you know, quality young talent.
We're the best, aren't we?
Yeah, and it still shows with Jake Truman and and these
Cameron
lads coming
Scott as well,
Cameron Scott,
yeah.
Players coming through, you know, they might find their way in other clubs, but they've come through our
club. I agree with you. It's good to see the Bradford lads come through. I always love seeing Bradford lads do well. Mm. I absolutely love it. I love seeing Chewy doing well. Yeah. I love seeing Cam Scott doing well. Even Bentley, who's gone over to St. Helens and things like that. It's fantastic to see.
And John Bastian, Peltz, you know him, obviously working with him closely at the club, doing a great job of not just producing these kids now, but hopefully getting them through to the first team before they get lost to other clubs.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know. I think Truey would have still been here if we didn't have his problems
would have been.
Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, me and Price were with him in that pre-season when he started to show some real class in that pre-season. But obviously, whatever happened, you know, he'd left. I think Cameron Scott left then. Joe Brown, a lad who'd gone to Wigan, he left then, you know.
But Basto, Alex Meller as
well.
Alex Meller.
Basto is doing an amazing job. A lot of these young lads train with us as well up at Tong, so they can see the progression. You know, we've got a reserves grade going now, and you know, Bradford reserves beat Wigan really, and that were only a few lads who were really playing in our team, who were playing in all young lads. So, you know, a lot of the first year under 19s are playing for Bradford reserves because they can't get in under 19, so it's all experience for them. So yeah, it's going good.
Just lastly on England, boys, feel free to jump in. Anyone unlucky who have missed out? Anyone maybe a touch fortunate to be in?
Just Richardson. Well, you talk about the Castleford players because you think they should have loads of players in. Cass, you're a secret closet Cass fan. Come on, talk about your Cass boys that you wanted in.
The only Cass player I might have think stood a chance right now, obviously Luke Gayle's and Jadida being in. Adam Milner, maybe the only one who possibly had a chance. He was great on Friday night. There's probably an argument for McShane somewhere, but
from Saints, Richardson, unlucky to miss out?
Potentially, but I think
still a bit young.
It could come a bit too soon for him. There's a tour coming up to Papua New Guinea with the Knights, isn't there? I think that'll be a great opportunity for him, a great breeding ground for him. He's 21. I don't think he's 21. I think he's 20. So, look, his time's going to come. And it's hard not to get excited. We were saying before we went on air about potentially Truman and Richardson as your half-back pairing.
Long-term, if they develop their potential.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll just change tact a little bit because it's been a crazy week in rugby league. Yesterday, new Super League CEO Robert Elston and a couple of owners let the cat out of the bag and said that the Super 8s has been binned off at the end of the year. Looks like we're going back to one up, one down between Super League and the Championship. Boys happy? Glad the Super 8s is finishing?
Yeah, happy. Just before we come in here, we were speaking, we were saying, just keep the same structure now for 10 years. Just say, this is what we're going to do, because we keep on changing structures to try and improve the game, and it obviously is not the reason why the game's probably failing at the moment. So keep the structure, you know, just like the Premier League do, just like the Champions League do. Keep the same structure and try and work on the other side of the marketing and the salary cap and the reserve grades, and just there's a lot more areas to work on the game than just the format.
The eights, Ross, we love to innovate in rugby league and we get a reputation for it, but when you're trying to get new fans into the sport, is this current format just a little bit too hard to explain to people?
Yeah, it's a bit complicated, you know, and it has its flaws. I think this year is going to be the first time we're going to see it pay full dividends, you know, with Toronto and you know, Lee and London. I think it's a dangerous time for Super League clubs, so I think they'll be happy to see the back of it, OKR and the likes. But yeah, it's one of the things, like Leon said, you know, we always want to keep promotion relegation. Whatever we decide now, let's just keep it and let's let it run. Yeah.
At the same time, when you're playing outside of Super League and you want to get in there, this eight structure, you know, you finish top and then you've got to go into a whole other league. You need a bit more cast iron guarantee that if you finish top, you're going up, don't you?
But also as well, why at the toughest end of the season, when the biggest games, why would you want to watch your Super League teams versus Championship teams? Wouldn't you rather watch the best Championship teams play the best Championship teams and the best Super League teams play the best Super League teams in that September, October time when it's business time here? Because it's not about the lower games for me, it's about the Premier competition. When we get to the end of this football season, we look forward to watching a Champions League final or a World Cup or an FA Cup, we don't really look forward to a Championship playoff, do we? It's not what we build up to watch. So make it about the Premier competition, which is Super League, which we want to rival NRL, which we want to rival Rugby Union, so that we get our best players playing in Super League, so it's not diluted because we can't afford to keep them.
It looks like we'll keep the £1 million game in some format. There's a bit of talk that it might become maybe a Championship playoff final rather than you get an afternoon where someone gets relegated and it's a disaster. It'd be more of a celebration. A fan of the £1 million game, guys?
No players are. But
let's say if you made it second v third in the champ and the winner went up.
No, what? Nobody went down?
Yeah, like a playoff final.
But nobody went down?
No, nobody went down.
Oh, that's all right then, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's too much. There's too much. I think for the players, there's too much instability with the contracts and too much at stake for going down with the £1 million game. And nobody enjoys, the players don't enjoy playing in it. Nobody promotes it well.
Yeah. I think I had the one to talk about taking that clause out. If with these new structures,
players
I don't know.
Union, yeah.
The players' union are talking about taking that clause out where the bottom team of Super League, their deal has to stay.
Yeah, they can't.
For the next year, they can't just can it. So if they bring that in, then yeah, that's a good thing as well. So
we'll come back to this, I think, because obviously we've barely touched the surface. We'll be back after a short break. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2 with Leon Price and Ross Peltier. Boys, before the break, we were just getting stuck into the league structure. I think there's still a bit more to run on that. We don't quite know yet. We've seen a few clubs like Leeds, Featherstone, Doncaster have all come out and had their say, nothing's been decided. But it sounds like we're going to go down the route of one up, one down. If we do one up, one down, Leon, what do we do with the top of Super League? How do we make top of Super League as exciting as possible in terms of potential playoffs and things like that?
Well, when would you say the most exciting time of Super League, what era was to watch and what format was that?
When Bradford were winning it.
Well, I'll put it back to that then, 2005.
Yeah, you're looking at top five, aren't you?
Well, make it top five then.
Yeah.
Well, you want to make it about the big games, don't you? You don't want to have so many games between the top teams so that by the time you come to the back end of the year, you've already watched them play each other four times.
Yeah.
Because it just dilutes a really, really good game. You want to watch them play against each other maximum three times and then the big one at the end of the year. Yeah. You don't want to see him play four times during the year and then once again at the end of the year because it devalues it for me.
And we skirted around it a little bit. All we seem to do in rugby league is change the structure. I read a tweet yesterday saying if we change next year, this will be the sixth different way of working out who the champions are in 22 years of Super League. I mean, that's
And in 22 years of Super League, we've only had four winners.
Yeah, I mean, it's mad. If we change the structure now, Ross, we've got to stick with it for a long time, haven't we?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need to stick to it, you know, so clubs know where they're at, teams know where they're at, players know where they're at. And like we were saying off air, the team that go down, the parachute payment, you know, so at least players have one more year of their deal so they can sort get their life around or if they can go back up, you know. But once we change, we need to stick to it. Because even as players, when all these Super 8s and all that came in, we were all like,
I don't know how this eights work.
Still,
no.
Still, if somebody asked me, I wouldn't be able to tell them.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Yeah. You're not the only one, honestly. You just touched on parachute payments there, and it ties in, I guess, with what we're going to talk about next, because we're massive on player welfare in rugby league at the minute. We're massive about looking after our players. But we've got a scenario again this year where if a Super League team loses the £1 million game, at a few days' notice, clubs can turn around and say, sorry, lads, you're out of work. Go find a job somewhere else. I mean, no wonder the players' union are trying to get this out of the game. It's horrendous, isn't it? On a player's mental welfare, I just can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, well, there's no other job I can't think of many jobs where somebody could say you're unemployed and you've got a month to find another job and find the same salary that you're earning. So it's just got to be done in the right way. And like you say, if there's a parachute payment and you get dropped down and you can kind of stick around the same salary that you're on, then it gives you at least gives you 5, 6, 7 months to find another club, to get your finances sorted out, to lower your mortgage maybe, to get rid of your car payments. So at least you can get your finance in order rather than having 1 month from maybe going from, just for argument's sake, £100,000 a year to 30. And, you know, obviously when you're on the big money and you can afford your bigger mortgage, you can get cars on hire and finance and what have you. But then if that money's gone within that short space of time, how do you sort out your finances if you can't find another club?
Kev Leroyo was probably the biggest example of it, wasn't he? And he was at Bradford with you two last year. What did he ever mention to you about, not necessarily the change in money he had to go through, but how it impacted on his life and how it all came about, Ross?
Oh, yeah, Kev's a good friend of mine. He's been for a while. Like we were saying, like Pricey said, it was just a thing of, he had his deal, he had his future set. He said, right, I've got another 2 more years at Hull on this. Things went a bit sour in that last month playing-wise, and then they've ended up at £1 million game, and then it's like, oh. And I think a few lads got told, yeah, we'll keep you, and then as soon as they lost that £1 million game, they turned around and said, actually, deal's gone, you know? And then it's a thing of, right, I've got to find a club. And then clubs know you're desperate, so they say, well, take this, then it's half your wage. And, you know,
in that time, and all, he was sat at home without a club, not knowing what's going on with his finances, trying to pay his bills. So I know at that time we're really very, very, very tough and testing for him. Because I know Kev as well. I played with him at Catalan Dragons. So I know Kev well, but I know that we're a very, very tough time on him. Yeah.
It's the clubs who sort out this league structure and try and work out the finer points in it. But is this a situation where, with, I guess, State of Mind, who were doing their dedicated round this weekend, and the RFL have to put their foot down here and say, this isn't a choice, this is mandatory, we can't just throw our players in the trash
this is where the players union comes in, with Gareth Carvel taking control of it. This is where we say, we put a clause in a contract that states that there's some kind of at least security within your contract to give you enough time to find another one that kind of at least is a like for like on not such a big drop.
And it is State of Mind round this weekend. Obviously they do some great stuff in the 6 or 7 years they've been in rugby league. In terms of rugby league's obviously seen as such a massive macho, tough guy sport. In the time you guys have been playing, and probably more for you, Leon, because you've obviously been involved in the game for a long time now, can you sense a change in perception towards mental health among players? Do players generally seem a little bit easier to approach about the mental health and things like that?
I think I noticed more when I wasn't involved. But once I've been back involved, it's like you're in the catch-22. You want your players to play, but you want your best players to play. But you don't want to be too tough on them and loot, and because especially when myself who's been through issues and having problems with it when we're finishing playing, you want your players to play, but then you don't want to put them under too much pressure and make them go within themselves and not tell you if they have got problems. So, but then if they don't play and you lose as a coach, I need him to play, So, at the very, very top level, the players play, and I'm not sure how much support. I'm not sure how much they would talk openly if they did have problems. It's miles, miles better than it was. Back when I first started playing with the old school guys, it wouldn't have even been mentioned. You know, your Jimmy Laws, your Brian McDermott's. It's your player, and that is it. There is no. You don't talk about anything, and that's just old school. And I'm only talking 20 years ago. Yeah. But nowadays, there's a lot more awareness. There's not as much stigma attached to it. I still think there's quite a bit of stigma attached to it, but not as much, which means we're going in the right direction.
Is there still more work to do, Ross? Do you think still need to break down a few more barriers?
Yeah, there's a lot of work. There's barriers to be brought down. You know, there's a lot of lads who go through a lot, and you know, I think me and Pricey both went through. I witnessed a lot of them.
I think 6 months at Bradford,
like 10 years.
I think we had like 20 guys that all ended up in a real bad way. It broke a lot of people, and I one of them.
Well, you said in the book, Leon, that you had to, you know, as a senior guy, you had to deal with young teenage kids coming up to you and crying and not, you know, trying to work out where the life goes from here. I mean, rugby league players, you only see them for 80 minutes a week, or Specky's only see them for 80 minutes a week, and you just assume that they're all tough blokes who can deal with everything, but there's so much more going on, isn't there, underneath the surface?
Yeah, and it's really tough as well, because at that time you want to be seen as a good influence, but I'm always a players person. Yeah, I always want to speak up for the players and make sure that they get the right end of the stick, and that were really hard as well. Try to do right by the club and do right by the player, which is tough when you're in a situation that we were in, which was awful. It was horrible.
I was just going to say, but like Bradford, you know, as a club now, Stu Duffy in particular, he does a lot of good work. You know, try to talk to lads. He's someone you can approach in Sporting Chance as an organisation themselves. You know. There's been times I've had to reach out to them, and you know, the RFL help lads by paying for, you know, their sessions with them and help them.
I think Sporting Chance look after rugby league players more than any other sport.
Really?
By a big percentage as well.
Yeah, I think it's Colin Blandon that I've been there with. I've had to call him, and you know, literally, you speak to him once, then you get people ringing you, you know, inviting you to with help, and they're open, and the RFL are doing a good thing by making it free for lads for like over a month. So
it's a charity, isn't it?
Yeah,
right. It's a charity. It's,
yeah, the RFL foot the bill for if lads need to use their services for a certain amount of time. So it is changing and helps accessible to players now. So yeah, I think it's moving in the right direction.
Why is it such a big percentage then of in terms of rugby league is the most to deal with?
Because we're the craziest people.
Yeah.
It's facts. That's a fact, it is.
Yeah.
But if you think about it really, like rugby league's loved by most people because we're so down to earth, we're so boy next door. Most of us boys, let's be honest, we come from council estate areas, underprivileged areas, where for us to get out of that lifestyle, we've got to fight, we've got to train, we've got to dedicate ourselves to a sport to give ourselves a chance from making a better life for ourselves. But then, at heart, we're all guys from very, very, you know, underprivileged backgrounds, from council estates, you know, from rough areas. So at heart, that's who we hang around with. That's we're just normal rough lads. Mm-hmm. And when you give them lads money and they slang around with the same mates and you're playing a contact sport and you're around 30 lads every single day, it's quite easy to see why it can go wrong.
And I think with rugby league as well, we're never far away from losing it all. You know, football, you could have 5-6 years playing professional football.
You're made
up for life. Rugby league, you can have 5 years and a good wage in rugby league. Things happen in your life and you can lose everything. I think we're very aware, we're always on that cusp of it all going, yeah.
Is that why we're crazy?
It could be.
I'm not crazy, I'm all right now. It's just you. I'm all right now, I've calmed down.
You're done now, yeah.
I'm trying to keep everybody else calm. I know that's as stupid as that sounds.
Yeah.
Now, I've got the shoes on the other foot and I'm like, come on, lads, don't go out and drink before a game. And come on, lads, just be good. Come training, please.
Awesome. Look, we're going to go to his last break now, but after the break, we've got Huddersfield legend Earl Crabtree live on the show. They've got a massive game coming up this Friday against Catalans, and they've decided to let everyone in for free. We're going to have a chat to him about that, what sort of crowd they're hoping to get in and things like that. So stick with us on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the final part of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2 with Leon Price and Ross Peltier. We're going to look ahead to this weekend's games now, but we're going to start with a special guest because Huddersfield Giants this weekend for their huge game against Catalans Dragons, it's 8th v 9th in the comp, have decided to make it free entry for everyone who gets a ticket in advance before 12 o'clock on Friday, hopeful of getting a big crowd down at the John Smiths. I think it's Simon Wolford's first home game in charge in Super League as well. And joining us to talk about it is Huddersfield Giants ambassador Earl Crabtree. Earl, how are you, mate?
I'm great. Good evening, guys. How are we all?
Hi, Earl. You okay, mate?
You're good.
Earl, just talk us through the whys and hows of this sort of decision to sort of effectively open the turnstiles this weekend and try and get as much of the town in as possible free of charge.
Yeah, I think first of all, it's obviously a massive decision for Ken David to take on because he is our financial backer. Essentially, it costs him money to open the gates to everyone and risk that massive cost on hopefully attracting the numbers down. And I think it's a big opportunity for us. It also does help us get a few details of people and hopefully we can get a few through the gates, but also at the end of the year, maybe we can attract those to keep going down. And the big thing about it for us is this afternoon we broke 4,000, which for us is absolutely huge. I mean, that's it's doubled our season ticket holders, essentially. So we should have twice the crowd and more. So that puts us up around 7,000 fans coming into our stadium for us is huge. And hopefully we can retain a few of those as well. So I think it's a massive risk. But at the same time, at the moment, I'd say we're doing pretty well.
You've obviously still got another 48 hours to go, Earl. What, from your guys' perspective, what's a good number? What makes this a success on Friday night? Because obviously there's no away fans coming in, so it'll be 100% Huddersfield. What's a successful figure?
I think success is probably based on the fact that we get as many as what we can. It really is very difficult with Huddersfield and Huddersfield Giants, and you know, you've been plenty enough times to realise that our crowds are, we do struggle at times we've got a great core support, but beyond that, we don't really have the opportunity to attract more fans in. We just don't do it. Even at the end of the year, when we put our season tickets at the lowest price in Super League, £125, we can only attract 3,500, and that is so disappointing. So we have to do something a little bit different. This is now the fact that we are doing a free of charge game is absolutely massive for us, and to break 4,000 and hopefully a little bit more, we'd be great to push to an extra 5 and maybe get about 8,000 there. That'd be unbelievable for us and something that we've probably not seen in quite some time, and there will be Huddersfield fans, or there will be fans that could be attracted to Huddersfield in the future. Massive opportunity for us, a massive risk, but on the night I think it'll be worth it, and hopefully we can create an atmosphere, and then we just need a team to do it on the field.
Well, the offer and the timing of it coincides with what you could say perhaps is the Giants' biggest game of the season so far. I mean, obviously disappointing to go out of the Cup to Catalans a fortnight ago at the John Smiths, but look, it's 8v9. If you win, you put a 3-point gap between yourselves and the Dragons in ninth. You could potentially draw level with Leeds. Simon Wolford's got the guys ticking, hasn't he? I mean, this is a big night for you guys.
It really is. I think we massively let ourselves down against Catalan in the last game, and it's probably one of the worst games I've ever seen. I really mean that as well. It was horrendous. But the week after, we play Leeds Rhinos, and we look like a different team. We played with more desire, we played with more flair, and we scored some great points, and we looked a lot fitter as well, like a little bit more enthusiastic with less drop balls, and always helps when the referee has a great game as well. But if you put all that together and us playing well, and I think you make your own luck. Against Catalan in the last game, we didn't deserve anything out of it because we were pretty pathetic. But this week is, again, that opportunity to walk out there in front of a big crowd and put on a show like we did a little bit against Leeds, where we really did stand up, we scored some great tries, and we looked like a different side that can play attractive rugby.
Big
we
girl.
Need to do that, because this is a big opportunity for us, and like you say, it sort of cements our position in that top eight, which is what we're trying to do.
Big girl, it's Leon here.
Leon,
just away from Huddersfield, we had a good chat at the Magic weekend. Why would you want to keep on playing? Personally, we had a good weekend. You were sat up there, saw you with sponsors. You were getting paid to drink beer. You were getting paid to cycle up there. You were getting paid to watch the game. You were getting paid to eat pies. Why would you want to keep? Why would you want to even come back to play the game? Why would you?
No, mate, I got paid to take photos of you and Lee Westwood at one point. I sent that over to you as well.
With a beer that we put on RFL's tab.
And that's it, we kept putting it on. That's our little secret, that one. We picked that up pretty fast, that is. If we just kept saying, yeah, put it on the RFL tab, they just kept giving us beer. And these are, you know, nice little tricks. But, I mean, again, the Magic weekend, for instance, was what a great weekend that is. And it's a great one for Rugby League. But, again, away from the field, it's so much easier waking up in the morning, not sore. It's so much easier, you know, for me getting up and going to work. I'm a little bit more passionate about it. I mean, I love the sport, I really do, but at the same time, the novelty of having a drink and being able to watch the game is unreal, and hopefully I have a few more numbers to drink alongside on a Friday night.
Well, just finally, if there's anyone listening and they fancy some Friday night rugby down at the John Smiths, what do they have to do and when do they have to get the tickets by?
It's basically a free of charge. So all you have to do is go online at giantsrl.com/tickets or ring up 01484 484 159. All it is an email address. You put in your email address, you can have one ticket. If you want some for the children as well, you will have to ring the number, but you can also go through the Pulse website on there. The advertisement's on there. You can click through on the link on there. And basically, you just give your email address. It's that simple, and you get a ticket. Come join us Friday night, because it's going to be, hopefully, it'll be a banging night. And just quickly, we've also got a big festival tomorrow night, which is on Leeds Road at 6 to 8. It's the Ronan Costello Festival in remembrance of him. A lot of people may realise that a couple of years ago, he passed away after playing for the Huddersfield Giants, and this is just a memorial festival. 200 and odd kids playing rugby league, so if you can get down and just have a little look at that, it'd be great to have your support.
Good stuff, mate. Listen, good luck with it all weekend. Hope you get a big crowd in.
Cheers, buddy. Take care, guys.
See you, mate.
That is Huddersfield Giants ambassador and legend and drinking buddy of Leon Price.
we just had one.
Of course you did. Well, we're going to look at this weekend's games now. We'll start with that one because it is 8v9. I mean, Catalans look like they've turned a corner, though, don't they, Leon? I mean, Steve Mack's got them ticking.
Yeah, I was speaking to Steve Mack at that game that we were talking about then. He was in the bar as well with his chairman, Bernard Gorshin. I was speaking to them both, and they were just saying that they had no numbers pre-season. Yeah. All their players were World Cup duty, so he had the young kids for the majority of the pre-season. So it's taken him a while. Bernard seemed patient. It seemed like he knew the score, which is very, very rare for him.
He's backed him with Sam Tompkins and things like that as well.
So Mickey McLaurin was great signing for him. So they look like they could be going places. It was a tough start for him.
Ross, Huddersfield Catalans, where's your money?
Huddersfield have turned a corner, haven't they? They've started to look quite good with the announcement of the new manager and stuff. I think it'll be a tight one. I think Huddersfield might just edge it, you know, being at home, you know, Catalans travelling and all that. I think Huddersfield might just edge this one, yeah.
The big game on Friday night is Leeds against the Saints, Super League leader Saints. Well,
you don't need to ask me, do you?
Leon, yeah. Well, don't laugh too loud, Leon, but if Catalans win at Huddersfield on Friday and Leeds lose, Leeds are 2 points clear of the bottom four.
Yeah, well...
Still with seven games to go.
Listen, as much as we've got that rival. I've got the rivalry we have as Bradford people against Leeds. I always want to see him in the top end of the league. Mm. I think seeing him down in the bottom eight, was it 2 years ago, 3 years
yeah,
ago?
2 years ago,
He won't for good watching. We need Leeds. We need a big Leeds. Yeah. Just like we need a big Bradford.
St Helens, you're back in St Helens,
course,
on the night.
Of course I am.
Belts.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big game. I think Saints are going to walk it. You know, a lot of lads have spent some time at Bradford last year getting a chance for Leeds. You know, it's good to see them playing. But, yeah, Leeds are doing it tough at the moment, so I can see Saints easily winning.
I'm having the big game of the weekend in Super League as Wakefield v Warrington on Sunday. Because if Wakefield win, they're only 4 points behind Warrington with a game in hand. Wakefield have already beaten the top two at home this year. Can they get another one on Sunday against Warrington?
Warrington have been inconsistent, haven't they? They're a good team when they're good, but they're not consistently good, and that's what happens when you bring change. It just takes a while for your structures to get implemented, maybe bringing some more players. Yeah. So Wakefield are also being inconsistent because I think they got 8 games on the bounce
without
winning a game. So it's a team of two inconsistencies.
Yeah,
your boys working.
Warrington got beat by a young and disjointed Cass team. So if Wakey's pack play like they do against Wigan, I can see Wakey taking it. Yeah,
Cass, the other game on Sunday. Cass have got Hull KR. I mean, Cass.
Well, we know you're spotting on this one, don't we?
Yeah, allegedly.
Cass, closet Cass fan sat over here. He goes to sleep with a little teddy tiger underneath his arm.
They're the second bottom Hull KR at home. I mean, even with Cass's injuries, should be too strong.
Yeah.
Just on the League One, finally, you two boys. Ross, you first up to Whitehaven. Tough old game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough game, but I think we'll go do the job, hopefully raise a few
pennies.
Please
get those jam eaters beaten. We want you to win.
Yeah. Leon, Doncaster, up at your gaff.
We obviously want to win, so I'm not going to say Doncaster, am I?
But different side. Do you feel like your boys are different? Tough game,
but we've got a lot of making up to do, so I'm confident in a big reaction from my boys.
And elsewhere at the weekend, I'm just looking at the championship fixtures because there is some big ones, including Toulouse v Lee. Wow. How are we seeing this race for the top four just quickly, boys? Who looks like the big side that's going to miss out?
No idea, but Lee are coming.
We've got Toronto, Toulouse, Featherstone, Halifax, London and Lee. I mean, two of those are going to miss out.
I think London and Halifax might miss out.
Leon?
I agree.
That's it for this week. I think I'm led to believe Mr. Hunter Paul's going to be back next week. But Leon, cheers for joining us.
Problem.
Ross, thanks as always.
No problem.
See you next week.
Listen back to today's show and all previous Robbie Hunter Paul shows at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.